The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
There's been an exponential growth in public health awareness. Every ad break has it on, telling us that COVID is here, as if we weren't aware of that. Reminding us to wash our hands and to stay at home as much as possible and to socially distance from people. But what about those who don't need reminding? Are indeed those already struggling to control their compulsions to do so? Padraig Gibson is the clinical director of the OCD Clinic. He's with me now. Good morning, Padraig.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I was speaking to somebody recently who has OCD, and I said, is this a terrible time for you because of the nature of what we all have to do and the fear of contracting a virus that we can't see? And the answer I got was, no, I've been preparing for this for the last 40 years. Is that a common response from people who actually have the condition?
Yes, it's actually, now that you say it, I mean, it is becoming quite common, but I think it lends itself to both myths and difficulties when we think about OCD as just being about that stereotypical view of hand washing, because it really runs across the spectrum from things like social phobia, like kind of overthinking, rigid morality. There's a whole host of different things that come with OCD that aren't just related to dirt. But you're right, at the moment, when people have been conditioned to wash their hands to keep things clean, it's a kind of safer environment for people with OCD. It normalizes their behavior that they would normally suffer from and look unusual with. So, yeah, there is a degree of comfort in it, but it still obviously offers quite a degree of distress.
Let's begin by officially defining what is obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay, well, there's two things there. One is the obsession, and the other one is the compulsion. So obsessions really can be anything: intrusive thoughts, images, feelings. And the compulsion are things we do to try and repair for those or to remove them. So most of us, when we come upon a problem in life, try and solve it. If that attempt at solving it works, game over. If it doesn't work, we tend to do one of two things. We either do the total opposite or we do more of the same. With OCD, usually when people come upon a feared situation, either they can avoid it and become phobic, or they can try and control it and become obsessive. And usually over time, when those compulsions are repeated over and over again in an attempt to reduce their fear, they actually end up increasing their fear. So the attempt at actually trying to solve the problem creates the problem. And normally over a period of time, when the person's feared situation hasn't occurred, they begin to believe that the ritual has a function and actually has some magical quality, because the thing they anticipated happening hasn't happened. So it becomes a kind of indispensable part of their life.
People are very casual about saying, oh, I've got OCD about that. Or, you know, I wash my hands 15 times a day now because I've got OCD about COVID. It's very dismissive of people who actually have this condition, because it's a very serious thing for them. And I'd imagine is very restrictive on how they live their lives.
Of course. I mean, it can be quite condescending and a bit patronising. People think, you know, it's just about washing your hands. It's a very simple kind of thing. But really, I mean, I guess the bizarre nature of it is difficult to deal with, both for professionals and for parents and loved ones, because in these situations, there's one thing is the cleaning. The other aspect can be doubt. I mean, doubt is really at the heart of many forms of OCD. So, for example, you may have children who ask parents questions, you know, have I done my homework properly? Do people like me? Have I said the wrong thing to my friends? And often parents seek to reassure them. So these be kind of mental kind of fears a child might have often, or even adults may believe. For example, at the moment, people might doubt whether they've infected someone with COVID. Have I walked past someone and brushed off them? Did I sneeze near somebody? And in those kind of situations where there isn't hand washing, you may have been going to loved ones or friends or family saying, did I walk by somebody a bit quick? Did I sneeze on somebody? Did I speak to you in the right way? So on one hand, we have the physical compulsions that are obvious and visible. But then you also have the mental compulsions, which come across much more subtly and are often harder to define. And this is often why we say it's like it often goes undiagnosed. It's what we call like a hidden illness. I mean, in the global burden of diseases, they still place a 10th as a form of disability. And it's really in the top five generally of mental health concerns, because it underlines so many different forms of problem, from health anxiety or what we call hypochondria, right the way across to social phobia. A lot of these will have compulsive, obsessive elements to them. Anorexia, binge eating, bulimia. So what I do want people to understand is that OCD isn't just, you know, kind of focused on cleanliness and washing your hands and being precise. There are a whole plethora of things that, if they aren't treated effectively as obsessions or compulsions, the problem won't be resolved. But generally, it's best not to, as you said, not to see it as something simple as washing your hands or kind of in any way patronize people, say I'm a little bit OCD or whatever, because that really just kind of removes the seriousness of the problem.
Could the scale of this, because I've made the point before that nobody on this planet who's alive right now will have any recollection of something the scale of this. We've people who've lived through wars and have seen the trauma of wars, but they, even in a global sense, were localized. Whereas this is a global issue and it is affecting pretty much everybody on the planet right now. Could this actually trigger OCD in people who previously didn't have it? Those who are becoming obsessed, for example, about passing this virus on to other people, or who have become obsessed to the point, and we've all seen pictures of the hands that are literally torn apart from people washing them excessively.
Yeah, Jonathan, that's a really good point. I mean, Samuel Johnson, one of the great English essayists, once said, you know, that the chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they become too strong to be broken. You know, when we repeat any behavior, it doesn't matter whether it's hand washing, whether it's checking, whether it's going back over something, whether it's making sure we haven't said or done something inappropriate or wrong towards someone. If you repeat that long enough, it begins to become involuntary and spontaneous over time. This is how we learn most things positively. I mean, good football skills, computer skills, you know, there's a whole lot of behaviors we learn in this way, but it can also go in a negative direction and become a phobic response. So, yeah, you're right. If we begin to wash our hands and feel safe, after a couple of months, all of us might feel a bit insecure. I remember the swine flu when it came through. You know, I used to travel a lot and you come back and forth through the airport and you have to step in your feet into things as well during foot and mouth and different stuff. And after a while, even when it was removed, you were used to washing your hands. You were used to putting your feet in the basin coming through Dublin Airport. So on one hand, it leaves us all, I guess, exposed to the possibility of developing something like this just through the rigidity of its repetition.
Mm. For people who need support from the likes of you, you can't meet, well, you probably can now, but for months you weren't able to meet people. And that presumably was their way of keeping the OCD in check, is by speaking to people and getting reassurance from the likes of yourself. Was care for people who actually have OCD, was that disrupted?
Yeah, of course. The only thing I would say about that is that being at home a lot more is a double-edged sword, because we often think of OCD as being just a fear or anxiety-based problem. OCD can also be a pleasure-based compulsion. Things like online gaming, gambling, people going for repetitive kind of corrective surgeries on their face. And you and I, Jonathan, spoke before about body dysmorphia. I mean, so on one hand, when you've access to family and parents, when you've access to the internet, when you have the ability to stay at home and go online, I mean, even porn addiction is an obsessive compulsive problem. You're actually exposed even to more difficulties. You're also exposed to more time of thinking. And one of the difficulties with OCD is that the three main attempts at solution, which are, you know, the control, which comes through the compulsion, the avoidance that people do, and the help-seeking reassurance they seek, that's more available to them. So parents are home to reassure children. Loved ones are home to reassure adults that they haven't said or done something wrong. So on one hand, being away from some people can be positive for some, but can also be a really difficult downside. But having said that, online therapy works very, very effectively with OCD. So they aren't alone and they can seek help from many professionals.
To finish up with this, Padraig, we talk a lot about mental health at the moment and how it has been assaulted for everybody. And we all react in different ways to this. The mental health of people who have OCD or who may develop OCD as a result of this, it's another example of the long-term issues we're storing up, that the longer this goes on, the more challenges we're going to have. And I suppose the more compassion we're going to need in society, the more resources we're going to need to deal with the effects of what COVID-19 has wrought upon us.
Yeah, I think this is a real problem. I mean, I've a new book out in a couple of weeks called The 12 Most Common Mental Traps. And the world that we're living in is setting more and more of these traps for us. I mean, for example, access to information, access to reassurance, online kind of gaming, online gambling, overprotective family patterns, perfectionistic kind of world, a more paranoid world that we live in, a more narcissistic world. When you combine all these things, it leaves us all disposed and predisposed to more and more fears, anxieties, stresses in the modern world. So with everyday life, for sure, mental health is going to become a massive difficulty, I believe, in the coming years. And that's a complex argument. But with OCD, certainly it's becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, it used to be between 2 and 3% of the population, I'd say about 25, 30 years ago. It's now between 5 and 8% of the population, and maybe even a little bit more. Because most people with OCD don't seek help, or if they do, they go the medical route because the thoughts are so shameful and the powers, they don't speak about them, or they won't go to a GP. Or if they do and they go, the GP is going to think, well, this is a treatment-resistant problem, so we're going to give you medication. And that usually leaves the problem hanging in the air for longer than it should, and it becomes more and more complicated. So, yeah, for all of us, it's something we're going to have to really think about.
There's probably people listening right now who might have heard a little bit of themselves in the conversation that we've just had, Padraig, right? And they might have joked about it, or they might have said, oh, look, that's just me being a bit mad, in the flippant way that we kind of casually treat our own mental health. If somebody's identified a trait either in themselves or someone else that they know that, that kind of resonates in this conversation, what should they do?
This is a difficult one. In the early stages of most obsessions and compulsions, a bit like in the early stages of eating disorders, I mean, families cooperate with it, children cooperate with it, adults cooperate with it, and it doesn't seem like a major difficulty. And of course, no difficulty is that major at the outset. However, over time, as it's repeated, and as the perception rigidifies and becomes more stiff, and the compulsions become more involuntary and spontaneous, the problem takes on what we call a kind of pathological rigor. So in the early stages, if you see people looking for reassurance, if you notice yourself wanting to avoid things because of the level of the stress it causes you, or if you're over-controlling with things, and remember, control isn't a bad thing. We all should exercise a degree of control in our life. However, when the control ends up controlling us, it becomes a disorder. So in the early stages, I mean, it's about changing our pattern a little bit. It's about having a bit more flexibility in how we approach things. It's about making sure that we're able to tackle things ourselves without seeking the reassurance continually of others. If you keep an eye on those three main things, then you'll go a long way to being able to defeat the problem early on. If you can't, you need to seek help as quick as you can before it becomes a real, real difficulty.
Okay, Padraig Gibson, Clinical Director of the OCD Clinic. Thanks very much for joining us on News Talk this morning, Padraig. Thanks for that.